On November 30th, Governor Scott Walker signed a bill passed unanimously by the state legislature that legalizes the production of industrial hemp in Wisconsin. Since then, the state's Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection has been busy writing an emergency rule to guide the hemp harvest in 2018. Also, farm groups and individual growers have been quickly learning all they can about this cash crop and the opportunities it could bring to our region. Today on the West Side, we'll talk about hemp, the excitement, and the complicated history of the plant that once grew freely around Wisconsin. I'm Rich Kramer. This is the West Side. Thanks for joining us this Monday morning on the West Side on Ideas Network stations 88.3 WHWC and 88.7 WRFW. I'm Rich Kramer. Joining me are three experts in agriculture and also in hemp at this point. We've got Rob Richard, who is joining us from our studios in Madison. He is the Senior Director of Governmental Relations for the Wisconsin Farm Bureau Federation. Rob Richard, do you copy?
I'm here. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us. Joining me in studio is Ken Anderson. He is the founder of Legacy Hemp, which provides, among other things, hemp cultivars for farmers. He lives in Prescott or near Prescott. Ken Anderson, welcome.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Good morning. And joining by phone from his farm in near Independence, we've got Joe Brager. He is a farmer who sits on the Wisconsin Farm Bureau Federation Board of Directors. Joe Brager, thanks for joining us.
Glad to be able to join you.
Pleasure to have you. Listeners, we want to hear your questions about hemp. 1-800-228-5615. If you're a farmer that's considering, you know, what it could do for you in terms of a new cash crop, let us know. Are you frustrated with the prices that you're getting for soybeans, for corn, you name it? Give us a call, 1-800-228-5615. Do you eat hemp seeds? Do you use hemp products? Do you use the fiber? What about CDB oil or CBD oil? Give us a call, 1-800-228-5615. So I guess first off, I'm going to start with you, Ken Anderson. What is hemp?
Hemp in today's market would be an oil seed crop. It's mostly used nowadays for food products, and fiber is the historical portion of Wisconsin hemp, and hopefully we get there someday, but right now the market is in the grain.
Sure, but I mean, the plant itself, what is it? I mean, for people that, I can't imagine there's too many people that don't know kind of the controversial history of it, or at least its cousin, but how is it different than marijuana, and basically, what's it like to grow this stuff?
So hemp is cannabis sativa L. The differentiation between it and marijuana would be the THC content, which would be kind of the drug aspect of marijuana, where industrial hemp, as defined in 7606 of the Federal Farm Bill, would be cannabis sativa L. That is anything below 0.3% THC.
Okay. And Rob Richard, what is the history with this crop? Because we just heard a reference to the 2014 Farm Bill. I've teased this up in the intro to the show, but to be honest, I'm still confused with some of the particulars. So is it legal to grow hemp?
Well, under the provisions of the Federal Farm Bill, it is legal to grow it. I mean, as far as going back in the history, how far back would you like to go?
Well,
it's been around for about 6,000 years.
Sure.
The early colonial settlers really utilized hemp when they first came over from Europe. It was deemed currency at the time. There were certain colonies that required the growing of hemp. The early copies of the Declaration of Independence were written on hemp. So it has a long history in this country. More recently, with regards to the 1937 Marijuana Act, it really came into being. It became more complicated when Congress got involved and defined what marijuana is and included industrial hemp within that definition of marijuana. But the predominant history in our state is going back to about 1910, 1913. It was first introduced in Wisconsin. And we really moved forward with innovation and growing of the crop. And up until it reaches apex during World War II, our supply lines were cut off from Southeast Asia, where we're getting a lot of our hemp product at the time. And so the USDA actually reached out to American farmers with a Hemp for Victory campaign and urged them to grow hemp that was used in rope for soldiers' uniforms, the parachute webbing, shoes, things of that nature. So in World War II, it really reached its apex. And then after the war, with cheap labor overseas and some depressed markets, it kind of went out of being. And then pretty much officially became illegal, you know, without a DEA permit to grow it, with the 1970 Controlled Substances Act.
1970. And, you know, the World War II thing is, whenever I hear about hemp, I always hear about, and at some of these meetings that I've gone to, I've heard some of the old-timers talk about, you know, being able to see it. They could walk out and look at these fields and fields of hemp. You also hear that this stuff grows wildly wild because it's still, you know, the seed and it still transmits. So that's interesting. So the 1970s is when it became a no-no again. Joe Brager, I wanted to ask you, what got you interested in potentially growing hemp at your farm near Independence?
Just going to touch real quick before I answer that. It was kind of neat when this came up and we started working on it as a resolution through our Farm Bureau, that when I grew up and our seed drill, our John Deere seed drill, had the settings imprinted or cast into it for hemp.
Oh, no kidding.
So it's really neat. I brought that up with a friend of mine, and he brought the placard off of his, and he said, here it is. It's on this one, too. So it tells you it was a pretty predominant crop at one time with a pretty good value if John Deere took the time to actually imprint the settings onto their equipment.
Yeah, absolutely. So, well, that's very cool.
What got me really interested is, and you mentioned it earlier in the startup of the program, is the depressed farm prices. There is no one that can beat the American farmer. In 1960, the average number of people that were fed off of the American farmer was about 25.8. And today that's gone to 155. Tremendously efficient. Of course, with that tremendous efficiency, we have the ability to produce and produce. And so right now, yes, we need more options. We need more options to grow different things. Hemp is a perfect fit. When you look at some of our hilly landscapes here, strong, strong roots. Grows in about 100 days. We should be able to come back and utilize conservation practices very effectively, just like when we work with some of our corn silages, putting out cover crops. So this is just a tremendous opportunity to do some diversification.
And maybe this isn't a question for Ken, but the, you know, people, when they think about hemp, they also think about marijuana. It's hard to separate the two. I mean, the plants are basically, they're similar. What about this climate? Because some people would assume that, you know, this kind of a plant thrives in hot, humid, you know, more near the equator kind of locations, or is that just some kind of a myth?
I believe if you were growing in a horticulture sense, that would be kind of an issue for us. But
sure.
Wisconsin once led the nation in hemp production, and I believe it will again. And it has to do with not only the climate here, but the farmers and the ability of our farmers. But as far as the geographic location, the cultivars that many of us are bringing into Wisconsin are well adapted for high yields in this area. So that is not an issue. And, you know, that's also some of the arguments that some of the opposition used to use, is that we suddenly were going to be hiding marijuana in our hemp fields. And we
can get to why that isn't possible or why it is not practical in just a bit here. I wanted to go to the phones real quick because we've got our first caller of this morning. Martha in Menominee, you're on the air. Thanks for calling in. What's on your mind?
Oh, I am just so excited, excuse me, about this subject, because I've been studying this. The Asheville, North Carolina, is the largest growing metro region in the country, and they are having to import hemp from Europe, but they can't get it in the United States. It has proven to be a superior product in what they call hempcrete, which is a substitute for concrete, and they're trying to find this, and they're having to import it and pay huge import prices. I can't believe I finally agree with Scott Walker on something, but it's wonderful that he has done this for the Wisconsin farmer. This product, hempcrete, is superior because it's breathable. So it's wonderful for building projects. It's stronger than concrete. It sets up beautifully. It's in a lot of sustainable projects around the Asheville, North Carolina area. And Henry Ford even built a car out of hemp because it was a superior product to designs and bumpers and fenders and things. They tried to smash a car that he built out of this stuff, and they couldn't even get a dent in it. So I am just thrilled. This is going to be a great thing for Wisconsin.
Oh, that's
I'm so happy that you called in and brought up hempcrete because and the amount that's imported. This $600 million a year of hemp material is brought into the U.S. from other countries at this point. And to allow the American farmer to fill that need would be tremendous. And hempcrete, you brought that up, that is a carbon-neutral product if you want to build a home with that. And it'll allow us to use the fiber. We heard earlier that the oil seeds are the big demand item right now. But look at the diversity that we can do with hemp products, from medicinal all the way to building your home.
All right, Martha, thank you so much for your call and your comment there. If anyone else has a question, 1-800-228-5615. We're talking this hour about industrial hemp in Wisconsin, what it means for potentially for Western Wisconsin. We're seeing a lot of farm groups. We're seeing a lot of meetings in different parts of our region where people are trying to get all the information they can on this potential new cash crop, which was legalized for production just in November, at the end of November, by Governor Scott Walker. And also Republicans and Democrats in the state legislature all voted unanimously on these bills. During Martha's comments, Ken Anderson, you were also nodding your head knowingly regarding hempcrete. I think I've heard it all now. But so can we get a list of some of the potential? You talked about seed for grain, you know, for eating. I've heard about hemp protein powders, now hempcrete. What else is there out there?
You know, just a little...
Whoops. I'm sorry about that. Go for it.
Just a little side on the hempcrete. That is actually what got me involved in the hemp industry back in 2010. This was a material I was working for a contractor, and I found this material, and that's really what got me involved in industrial hemp. And she was spot on with the fact that we are... the import costs to do that is one of the reasons. When we started importing it, we were spending twice as much on the importation rather than the material itself. And that's really what got me involved in really pushing to have American farmers be able to produce this for us. But there is, I mean, you hear many times of 25,000 different uses of industrial hemp. And that really is based off of a Popular Mechanics report back in the 40s that pretty much was saying anything that you can make from oil and plastics, you could make from hemp. But really, it is a very diverse crop. You can use the inside woody core, the bast fiber, or the inside woody core would be the herd, and you can use that for things like animal bedding, hempcrete, many different uses there. But really, the bast fiber market isn't what it used to be in Wisconsin. The bast fiber was for textile grade, and now it's really more into the non-woven markets, your insulations, your composites, and things like that. But the grain is where the market is at today, and I believe that that's going to help. That once the infrastructure is in place to handle the grain and get it into food products, that's when you can really start to focus on getting the infrastructure in place for the fiber. And that's when, you know, we will be able to. Right now, we can make farmers profitable with the grain alone. And fortunately, once we have that infrastructure in place and we can provide the infrastructure for the fiber, the farmers will actually make more money per acre because then we'll be buying the stocks from them.
Now, before we take a break, I wanted to talk a bit about your company, Legacy Hemp. We mentioned cultivars, which for people that aren't into agriculture, I just learned about what cultivars were a number of years ago. But basically, I think of wine grapes when I think of cultivars. It is... A variety
is what you would consider it. Yes.
Okay. So besides that, what other? I mean, do you focus strictly on sourcing seeds?
So that was the start of it. My old company was Original Green Distribution, which was actually involved in the hempcrete business, and,
okay.
and we still do that. We just now we've moved into we provide planting seed for farmers of many different cultivars that we try to place whatever industry they're going to be selling into. We got to get them the proper cultivar, and then right now we are also starting to get into the processing of the grain, because since we've been growing in America since 2004. But we've been using third-party processors when we are finally able to be able to put it into the marketplace. And now we would like to be able to have a systemic approach where we provide the farmers with the seed, we contract the acreage, buy the crop back from them, and then we break the crop and sell it at the wholesale level to food manufacturers.
All right. With that, let's take our first break here on the West Side. I'm joined by Joe Brager. He's a farmer from Independence who is part of the Wisconsin Farm Bureau Federation Board of Directors. Also, he's strongly considering and plans to, I believe, plant some hemp this growing season. Ken Anderson is founder of Legacy Hemp. He lives in Prescott. His business provides hemp seed for farmers, and also we just heard that he's interested in processing here in Wisconsin. Rob Richard is Senior Director of Governmental Relations for the Wisconsin Farm Bureau Federation and helped work with lawmakers and is currently, I imagine, working with the Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection on trying to guide the writing of an emergency rule. We've got a lot more to unpack regarding industrial hemp in western Wisconsin. Give us a call if you have a question, 1-800-228-5615. If you're a farmer, let us know what you think. And if you are a consumer of hemp products, let us know how you use it. 1-800-228-5615. This is The West Side.
Wisconsin Public Radio is a service of the Wisconsin Educational Communications Board and the University of Wisconsin Extension, with additional financial support from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and from listeners through the Wisconsin Public Radio Association. Support also comes from the Chippewa Valley Home Builders Association. The annual Home and Garden Show comes to the Eau Claire Indoor Sports Center, February 23rd through the 25th. Ticket information is at cvhomebuilders.com.
You're listening to The West Side on Wisconsin Public Radio. Thanks for joining us. I'm Rich Kramer. We're talking about industrial hemp in western Wisconsin. November 30th, Governor Walker signs the bill. Right now, the Department of Agriculture here in the state is working feverishly to come up with some early emergency temporary regulations to guide the planting of industrial hemp here in the Badger State prior to permanent rules being finalized. If you've got a question, let us know. 800-228-5615. And you can also post on the West Side Facebook page. I wanted to go back to Rob Richard, since you're into the governmental relations side of things here. I asked this earlier, and it's really a broad question, and technically hemp is legal, but are there not some tricky nuances to that regarding the DEA?
Yeah, we could spend half a day talking about the nuances with the DEA, but to summarize it as best I can, so essentially, you know, hemp is legal in states that have passed hemp legislation. You know, the 2014 Farm Bill authorized states to do that. So as long as you're a state that has passed a law to legalize the growing, cultivating, and processing hemp, you can go ahead and do that. There are a number of lawsuits out there. There are a number of indecisions, and there is a lot of gray area when it comes to hemp and what people can do with it and how the DEA reacts to it.
Well, give me some examples of that, because when I looked this up, I found, and tell me if I'm wrong, but hemp, the plant that a lot of, you know, we keep hearing, this is a plant that doesn't give you that euphoric feeling if you try to smoke it or ingest it because it's got such low concentrations of the THC. That aside, it's in the list, it's on the list with drugs like heroin, is that true?
Yeah, it is a schedule, it's on a Schedule I narcotic. So basically that means this product, according to the U.S. government, the product has no medicinal value whatsoever. So yeah, it's on the schedule with heroin and cocaine and other things like that. What separates hemp from marijuana, and marijuana is a Schedule I narcotic as well, is that the Farm Bill basically separated industrial hemp from marijuana. So basically, as Ken indicated earlier, it's defined as anything that's under 0.3% THC. So as long as you are growing, cultivating, processing hemp that is below 0.3% THC within a state that has authorizing legislation to allow you to do that, you should be fine.
And 0.3% THC, how does that compare to a plant that would be, you know, a marijuana plant, basically, that's
sure.
cultivated for the flower? Let's put it that way.
Yeah, I mean, so you're not going to feel any psychotropic effect whatsoever at 0.3%. Some may argue you're not going to feel anything up to 1%, maybe 1.5. I would say, you know, today's marijuana is a little bit different than, you know, your 1960s marijuana. The potency has definitely improved, whereas, you know, today's marijuana, you're going to have or experience that euphoric effect with about maybe anywhere from between 5 to 40% THC level. So the 0.3% isn't anywhere close to what today's marijuana could do to you.
Gotcha. And then I just also wanted to bring up the way that the Farm Bill allows states to harvest or to grow this crop. This is all about research, technically, right?
Yeah, so the Farm Bill set it up so that states, through universities or through their Department of State Agriculture Departments, could set up a process by which the university or the ag departments, through a pilot program, essentially farmers, would allow them to grow hemp. It's not just the growing of it, it's the research of it, and one of the keywords is marketing. So that basically the Farm Bill wanted, or what Congress intended, was that the states would authorize people to grow it, and then try to develop or find out what the markets are for that, which is why there's a little bit of question in the commercialization behind it, because there's a misinterpretation, or at least the DEA is seeing it one way and Congress's intent is the other, in terms of what that marketing actually means.
And I started writing a question when I was working on this program last week, and I started chuckling to myself because I wanted to ask you, is it unusual for one arm of government not to agree with another arm of government or kind of see eye to eye on things? That seems kind of strange to me, but maybe someone who's in government or government relations might have experience with that.
Well, it's not terribly unusual, but in this circumstance, this is why there's a federal lawsuit that's going to be heard out in the 9th District out in San Francisco on February 15th. But basically, the Hemp Industry Association and a couple other groups have filed suit against the DEA with regard to what's called a final rule on marijuana extract. So this is one case where these private entities believe the government, in particular here the DEA, has gone too far in their interpretation or their read of the Farm Bill. And this is also significant because there was an amicus brief filed in this case by 27 congressmen, U.S. senators and representatives, including Congressman Glenn Grothman, Congressman Mark Pocan, and Congressman Gwen Moore. Have all imagine the diversity of those three people, mm-hmm. and they've agreed to sign on to an amicus brief, basically arguing that the DEA has this argument totally wrong.
Very interesting to see how that turns out. Ken Anderson.
Yeah, this is a kind of a touchy subject for us. In 2014, when we brought the first legal hemp planting seed into the state of Kentucky, there was 7606 of the federal Farm Bill gave us the right to do so. We were working under the Department of Agriculture, and unfortunately, even though the word notwithstanding, which is the first part of 7606, notwithstanding the Controlled Substance Act, which is what would give the DEA jurisdiction to do anything, the DEA ignored that. They confiscated our seed that was going into the Department of Agriculture. They did that, and unfortunately, I believe we would have won in federal court, but the Kentucky Department of Agriculture decided that they could, if they were kind of bribed and told by the DEA that if they dropped the lawsuit, that they would expedite a Schedule One import permit so that they could have the seed. That was our seed. It was only 297 pounds. It was for research. I didn't want to drop the lawsuit, but I wasn't going to try and sue the DEA on my own. And unfortunately, that set the precedent. That means that anyone that wanted to import seed would have to have a Schedule One narcotics permit to do so. So if you look then at 763 of the omnibus spending bill, the legislature, they have actually taken away the funding of the DEA to interfere with state-run hemp pilot programs.
Wow, that is some deep...
There's no more legislative intent than taking the purse away from the DEA.
Sure. 1-800-228-5615 if you've got a question or a comment. Let's go to the phones. Chris and Barron, you're on the air. Thanks for calling in. What's on your mind?
Thanks. I have access to some older equipment.
Okay.
That'll actually harvest hemp, but I don't know who to talk to, and I don't know the difference between, say, having chemical-free land to make organic seed versus using chemicals to have non-organic seed.
Well, we're not doing a Trade and Post show today, but I don't know, Ken Anderson, what to do with the equipment that was once, you know, used to harvest hemp?
I would believe that if it's equipment that was made for the old market in Wisconsin, it's more than likely is going to be equipment for the fiber side of it. Mm-hmm. And that's you're dealing with a much taller plant, much higher planting density. And that's something that many people would definitely have interest in. The question as far as on the organic, there are no certified organic planting seed in Wisconsin or America right now. And the reason is because you can grow it as organic as long as you check three different sources. And if no one has organic planting seed, then you can grow conventional seed in an organic matter. Hmm. The reason that we don't want to take any of our cultivars into organic seed production is the only thing that really does is drives up the cost to the farmer. We're not growing seed in a manner that would be kind of against the practices of organic. It's just that because right now there are no chemicals that are labeled for use in industrial hemp. So really, you're growing in a natural manner anyway, so there's no reason to drive up that cost to the farmer.
All right. Thanks, Chris, for the question. Joe Brager or Rob Richard wanted to chime in on that?
Yes, I would weigh in when we talk about producing hemp. One of the things that I would caution farmers' interest in doing is to really do their homework first. Just like any other crop we grow, if you do your homework, you stand a better chance of being successful. There are a lot of seminars going on, especially around the state right now. A lot of resources out there. Extension is really getting on board with this, and I can almost guarantee you that we'll have some extension plots here in Buffalo County working with this summer. And don't just jump into it, because remember, do your homework. The markets, some of them have yet to be developed. And when we're looking at the fiber side of things, what we really need to do is get a processor, sir, here in the state to do that, or develop that processing capacity again, and I'll pass it on.
Rob, anything to mention?
I think Joe said it quite well.
He sure did, and Ken Anderson would like to jump in, though.
I also want to just let people know that this isn't a crop that you can just go to your local elevator and say, hey, what's your cash price for hemp today?
Mm-hmm.
So we really caution farmers that are interested in growing, before you go and source seed, make sure that you have a buyer for that crop and a contract to do so. And know that if you're going to produce just conventional grain, that's probably the lowest margin. The next up from that would be organic grain, and then above that would be seed production certification. Seed production, but make sure that you have a buyer, because you cannot just grow on spec and expect a buyer to be sitting there waiting for you.
So in that respect, that's pretty unusual for, because I'm not knowledgeable on growing on spec for any other crops, but is hemp kind of in its own category right now because of that?
Yes, because it's not really a commodity traded aspect of agriculture at this point.
But the idea is that we'll get there.
I think we'll get there, yes.
Okay.
Sooner rather than later.
1-800-228-5615 is the number to call if you've got a question or comment about industrial hemp farming in western Wisconsin. Have you been around long enough? Have you got the experience required to remember fields of hemp in western Wisconsin? If so, we'd love to hear a story. Give us a call at 1-800-228-5615. Joe Brager, I wanted to ask you, I basically said that you were going to just before the earlier in the show. You're planning on growing some hemp. Are you going to do a smaller test plot, or are you going to do a big old huge amount of acreage on with it?
No, considering the what was just mentioned about, and that can't be stressed enough, is that you need to have a market for those seeds before you plant them. Definitely we're going to grow some, and I think there's several people here interested. So we've got a long history here in Buffalo County of doing replicated test plots, working very closely with our extension agent. We started doing some, give you an example, malting barley. And we grow as many as 300 varieties in our plots to identify the ones that hit the mark and really met the consumer's demand. And so I can see us doing a lot of that work, trying varieties, doing test plots, getting the agronomics down. When you read the articles, said needs no fertilizer, no pesticides, no insecticides. At this point, there's no chemicals registered. However, there will still be fertility recommendations that will come from all of this to really get us to be efficient and effective. So starting out with test plots, really looking at taking it further, and then a strong interest in possibly finding a way to develop some of this processing for the fibers.
Is there anything about it that gives you pause and makes you kind of concerned about growing test plots? I mean, the idea that it's still technically, under the DEA guidelines, it's illegal. I mean, are you worried that there could be a shift in whim among lawmakers or even the U.S. Attorney General, and they could come, you could have G-men coming to your farm, Joe?
Well, from my perspective, I fully expect that our fields will be registered. They'll be recorded with someone. From the farm perspective here, I report every one of my fields every year to FSA the way it is. So a reporting requirement is not any different than our current farming. So I'm not worried about that. The positive energy and the fact that in no committee or in any vote in the state did anyone register in opposition to industrial hemp tells me there's a movement going on. There's a movement going green. There's a movement of on our farm, I'll be able to split our rotation up even more.
Sure.
Every time you split your rotation up, you magically combat the insects and disease pressure on your farm because of the biodiversity. So with that in place, I think the movement is strong. I'm not worried about this at all reversing.
That sounds all good news. And Rob Richard, I wanted to ask you, recently, U.S. Attorney General Jeff Sessions said he was rescinding an order from his predecessor, in President Obama's administration that discouraged enforcement of federal marijuana laws in states where it had been legalized for medical and recreational use. That made it a lot of news. I don't think there have been any raids yet. I mean, it's kind of up to the U.S. attorneys in those states, from what I understand. Does this move affect hemp, or does it change any of that momentum that we just heard about?
I don't think so. From what I've read from, some law firms that have come out that are really involved in this debate and watching this very closely, the Cole memo, which you referred to, that Attorney General Sessions is rescinding, it does deal more with marijuana on the federal level and how it impacts these states. And from what I've heard is that the rescinding of the Cole memo should not affect, like Kenan ate earlier, this Part 7606 of the Federal Farm Bill.
But would changing the Federal Farm Bill, the language regarding industrial hemp, would that require an act of Congress, or could it be a legal opinion issued by the U.S. Attorney General?
So here is what we need, and this is after after Wisconsin passed the legislation on November 30th, when Governor Walker signed it into law, I switched into phase two, basically, in my role. And I've been spending quite a bit of time at the federal level working with Congressman Jamie Comer, 1st Congressional District down in Kentucky. He has introduced the Industrial Hemp Farming Act of 2017. It was filed last July 28th, I believe. And this bill, it's not perfect, But the core of what Congressman Comer's bill does, it classifies industrial hemp as a crop and puts it under the purview of the USDA rather than under the Schedule I narcotic under the purview of DEA. This would be a major, major accomplishment if we could get legislation like this passed through Congress.
With that, let's take our final break here on the West Side. We've still got a good chunk of time to talk about this issue, which is complex. We haven't even gotten into what's going on at the Division of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection here in Wisconsin. Industrial hemp is the topic for the rest of the hour. Give us a call here at the West Side, 1-800-228-5615. I'm speaking with Ken Anderson. He's the founder of Legacy Hemp, which provides seed to growers of industrial hemp. Rob Richard is the Senior Director of Governmental Relations for the Wisconsin Farm Bureau Federation. And Joe Brager farms in Independence. He's also with the Farm Bureau Board of Directors and is planning on growing some test plots of hemp at his farm near Independence. 1-800-228-5615. If you've got a question or a comment, you can also check out the West Side Facebook page and leave a question there. We'll do our best to get it on the air. And if you've missed part of this program or would like to listen again, go to WPR.org. Click on the show's link, you'll find the West Side, and you can listen to years' worth of programming. We'll be right back.
Supporters of Wisconsin Public Radio include Five Nines, Ashland County Tourism, and Festival Foods. Your business can join our ever-growing list of contributors. Go to WPR.org/sponsor.
Support also comes from the Eau Claire Regional Arts Center. Stand-up comics Pat Hazel and Dina Blizzard present My Funny Valentine, Wednesday, February 7th at the State Theater. More information is available at EauClaireArts.com.
I'm Rich Kramer. You're listening to The West Side on Wisconsin Public Radio, coming to you from our Eau Claire studios. Thanks for listening on Ideas 88.3 WHWC and 88.7 WRFW in River Falls. We're talking about industrial hemp and what it could mean for growers in western Wisconsin. Rob Richard is a senior director of governmental relations for the Wisconsin Farm Bureau Federation. Ken Anderson is the founder of Legacy Hemp, which provides hemp seed for growers. He lives in Prescott and plans on expanding his operations here in Wisconsin right away after the signing of the bill that allows legal farming of hemp in Wisconsin. Joe Brager is a farmer from Independence who is also on the board of directors for the Wisconsin Farm Bureau Federation. 1-800-228-5615. Hey, we got a perfect call to set us up for the rest of this discussion. Coming at us from Fall Creek, Jason, you're on the air. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi, I was curious. I'm young. I'm like 22 years old, and I'm interested in getting into farming, and I think this would be a great product to get into. I'm just curious, how would somebody of my age get into something, or who would I go to and talk to get kind of more information on getting into this?
All right, you're talking to a bunch of ag people about how to get into farming. I don't know who wants to take this first.
I'll jump in.
Joe Brager, please do.
And one good resource always. I think there's going to be a program up in the Eau Claire area shortly here on
yes.
industrial hemp that you may be able to attend, and we can get that information to you possibly. And another good resource, of course, is on the phone here with Ken, outstanding resource. And then don't be afraid as this starts to develop to reach out to your local extension agent. These folks are going to get up to speed pretty quick on the possibilities, because we're always looking for new opportunities for our farmers. So don't be afraid to reach out to your extension.
Well, and with that, I kind of wanted to relay something that I heard, because I went to one of these extension meetings, and it was fascinating. But I also heard that this was kind of from someone that worked for the agency that said while their job is to educate, you know, people about how to, you know, about educate growers, there also was some pushback about whether or not extension could officially advocate for, you know, educate farmers on this crop because of the disagreement between the FDA, excuse me, the DEA, the person told me that there was a potential that they could lose funding if they're directly involved with this. So I don't know, maybe, I'm not sure if you've heard about that, Rob Richard, but basically it still seems like divisions of state government are nervous about divisions of federal government.
Yeah, I think it'd be a stretch to say that, you know, I understand the fear out there. I really do. But it'd be a stretch to say that they're going to lose federal funding because they're partaking in a state pilot program that hasn't happened yet that I know of. I know there's, you know, I've had conversations with UW-Madison about this as well. And their initial fear was the loss of federal funds. But there are universities down in Kentucky, out in Colorado, Vermont, Washington, Oregon that are doing research and partaking in their state hemp pilot programs, and I've not heard of them losing any type of funding or being threatened with loss of funding.
All right. Ken Anderson, any thoughts to this aspiring young farmer about getting into the realm of industrial hemp?
Yeah, I mean, it really comes down to do your homework. You have to know what your capabilities are. You know, it's when you're getting into farming as a business, so you have to look at your return on investment. So I believe that hemp is a very good cash crop. I believe that if you're going to make the investment for the equipment that you're going to use in industrial hemp is going to go to other row crops also. So, but you really have to. We don't want anyone monocropping anything. So, you know, you have to, right now we work with farmers mostly that are already established and are doing well in their trade. And I think as the market grows, I think more and more people will be, you know, coming into farming. And I think that hemp is an exciting crop for these people. I just really have to stress, do your homework. And first and foremost, especially if you're new, make sure that you have a buyer at the end of the day. There are great resources of how to grow this crop. And, you know, it's not that difficult to grow, but there is a learning curve there.
And I've heard that the processing and storage of it can be tricky, that you have to really be,
yes,
that it can go bad
you
along
know,
the way
when,
pretty.
When that grain is on the when that grain is on the plant, it's pretty easy to take care of.
Stable.
But post-harvest, you have to have a plan in place, and you have to have some capabilities that not all farmers have as far as being able to get the foreign material out of it before it goes into storage and be able to dry it down to 9% or less moisture is key, because if you do an excellent job and you have a great yield, but it spoils in your bin, it doesn't do anyone any good.
Right. 1-800-228-5615 if you've got a question or a comment. Thanks for Jason for calling in. We're talking the rest of the hour about industrial hemp in western Wisconsin. Governor Scott Walker signed a bill that legalized the crop on November 30th. Right now, the Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection, which is being headed by a well-known name from western Wisconsin, Sheila Harsdorf, they are writing emergency rules about that will guide growers. So, Rob Richard, I'm going to go to you. What kind of things does DATCAP have to figure out before farmers can actually put these seeds in the ground?
So right now, when Walker signed the bill on November 30th, they basically gave DATCAP 90 days to come up with rules by which they can utilize or implement the hemp pilot program. And so, I mean, just some of the things they have to worry about, enforcement violations. They have to worry about licensing. They have to worry about registering those individuals who want to process. They have to worry about creating a form to deal with a chain of custody issues, so that if you are merely the transporter of grain from the farm, say, to the process facility, you're going to have a form in hand so that if by chance law enforcement is going to pull you over, you have a chain of custody letter to show that this is industrial hemp. Those are all the things they have to think of. I mean, their pilot program is going to involve, they need to make sure that farmers are submitting GPS coordinates for the middle of their fields when they put in the application. They have to have people hired to do maybe sample testing of those fields. So there is a lot to do. I don't envy the work they have to get done before March 2nd. It is a lot. But we had to do the emergency rules if we were to get a crop in this spring.
I know you can't speak for the agency, but is it possible? I mean, is it going to happen? I guess it's going to happen no matter what.
It will. Yes, no matter how messy. I am confident. Brian Kuhn, the director of plant industry at DACAP, he's heading up the project. I have supreme confidence that he's gonna, him and his team are gonna get this thing done. Just a quick plug. You know, people are always looking for more information. I think, you know, one way that, or one avenue they can go, they can, you know, Google DACAP and hemp, and you'll go to the industrial hemp page that DACAP has set up. There's a place there for people to link onto that they can sign up and be on a list that when DACAP sends out updates as to what's going on in the process, you can be immediately informed as to what they're thinking or where they're headed. As Joe alluded to earlier, we are hosting a seminar in Eau Claire tomorrow night, mm-hmm. Called Wisconsin Hemp 101. It's at the Chippewa Valley Technical College, starting at 6:30 p.m. Open to the public, free of cost. So anybody who is seriously interested or just curious about hemp, you're more than welcome to come out there and check it out. But also, more importantly, or equally important, is Wisconsin Eye. Basically, Wisconsin's version of C-SPAN has agreed to live stream and broadcast the event, and they'll have it available on their website afterwards. So, again, if you Google Wisconsin Eye hemp meeting, you'll be able to click on that live stream. If you actually can get to the meeting, you can we'll watch at home.
Very cool. I wanted to, you know, among these state regulations, I read on that page that you just mentioned from DACAP that farmers will be required to have a permit and they're also going to have to do a background check. Is this similar rules for corn? I'm just wondering.
Background check for corn, but this is a little different scenario. So starting up, you know, we're excited about this, this farmer perspective here again. I'm excited about the opportunity, and we're going to have to do some of those things. And that's what's going to be required to get this off the ground. Isn't it for everybody? Is everybody excited about having a background check? Probably not. But to put it into perspective, if you want to volunteer at our local school, you have to have a background check.
True.
So background checks shouldn't stop you from exploring new opportunities.
And it's not uncommon to have that in other hemp laws throughout the country. A lot of states mm-hmm. have included this provision in there. And I mean, it was basically to get it through Wisconsin and to get the unanimous support that we did. I believe, and I need to validate this, but I believe we are the only state in the country, or the 34th state to pass hemp legislation. We're the only one in the country that passed it unanimously. Mm. And to do that, you know, you had to work with people on the far left, you had to work with people on the far right. I mean, just it's one of those provisions that I had to include to get the support that we needed to get this thing passed.
And among with, you know, do we know what the permits might cost? Because I've heard that in some other states, the permits can be a little pricey. Minnesota, for example, is that correct, Ken Anderson?
Minnesota is nowhere near as pricey as North Dakota.
North Dakota, that's what I was thinking.
North Dakota is $25 an acre, no matter if you grow 1 acre or 1,000 acres. There's no cap.
Holy moly.
Yeah. Wisconsin, I think that Rob could probably answer that one.
Sure. Rob, do you have any idea?
I believe what DACAP's initiative, well, in statute, basically said that the application for licensure is going to be a minimum of $150. Or the greater of like $5 per acre above that, with a maximum of $1,000 per application. And I mean, there's going to be, if there's any other costs associated with DACAP implementing the program, they can include some of those extra costs, but only they can't be exorbitant. They basically have to cover the cost of what DACAP needs to do to implement the program.
All right, I'm sorry, you lost me a little bit there on what the permit would cost. You said it's $5 an acre up to $1,000 or $100? I'm sorry.
So it's the greater of $150 or $5 per acre with a maximum cap of $1,000.
Okay. All right. Well, that sounds significant. Joe Brager, I heard you jumping in too.
Well, I have a habit of doing that. But again, it's $5 an acre. It's $150 to start. So, considering the opportunity and that this might provide, that's not going to hold us back from doing some experimentation.
And Ken Anderson, I wanted to ask you, and this seems to have been to become kind of a touchy subject among people in the industry. But what is the potential for profit? You know, when for growers.
Well, once again, if you are a conventional producer, and that varies. I would say conventional, you're probably around the $200 to $300 an acre. Some of the higher yielding cultivars, it's all based on yield, is mm-hmm. really. And then if you can focus on quality, that is also, some of the higher margins. You work with people that focus on quality. So I would say anywhere from $200 to $300 an acre up to in seed production, our farmers are making over $1,000 an acre.
And that's where I've heard some disagreement, saying that that's kind of the very peak of the peak. I mean, that's not what farmers should go into it expecting, or is that not, you know?
It depends on your capability and your contract is
sure.
really what it depends on, because it's all, the highest price that we pay is for certified seed. So that's where you're going to get your $1,000 an acre lower.
And certified seed, of course, going to other growers to grow.
That's correct.
So contrast, if I can.
Please do.
What Ken just pointed out, a lot of the agronomy meetings that you go to this year,
yep.
talking about conventional crops that we grow, we're being instructed to try to grow the crop where you'll lose the least with the depressed prices. And contrast that against what Ken just said.
So, even if it's $100 an acre, that would be a vast improvement over a loss, I would imagine.
Yep.
Okay. Well, 1-800-228-5615. We've got like 1 minute. I don't know why I'm calling for questions or comments, but so we've got 90 days, Rob Richard. Then what happens? I mean, once we're operating under these emergency rules, I think there's a deadline for that. Is it 2020? I mean, when will we have permanent, stable state legislation, or when can we, look back and say, wow, we had some growing pains with this hemp industry, but now we're there?
Yeah, I mean, like I said earlier, so essentially the emergency rules have to be done and written by March 2nd. Those emergency rules will be in effect until the department has completed writing permanent rules that puts us in place. So I think, they give them, till like June or 2020 mm-hmm. to finish what those permanent rules will be like, but we'll be operating under emergency rules for that time.
All right. I'm sorry to ask a question so close to the top of the hour, but thank you to all of my guests. Rob Richard is Senior Government Relations Director for Wisconsin Farm Bureau Federation. Ken Anderson, founder of Legacy Hemp. Joe Brager, farmer from Independence. Thank you all so much for your discussion. Special thanks to Team West Side. Next week, we'll have lawmakers on to discuss a special session called by Governor Scott Walker related to welfare reform. I'm Rich Kramer. We'll talk again next Monday morning.